looks like it's just me today. Here he comes. So while Jonathan's getting ready, I just wanted to share with you a little bit who we are. I see a lot of new faces here, so some of you might have never seen us before, but Jonathan and I live in Israel. This was Jonathan's congregation for, I think, his entire life. And we have been married for 4.5 years, and you might have seen a little boy running around. He's in the nursery right now. And I am also pregnant again. So somehow every time I come back to talk to you, I find myself being pregnant.
So we're not going to come back for a few years.
We won't be back for a few years. Yes, we are having a little girl, so we're very excited. I'm 6 months pregnant. Our due date is in October. And the amazing thing about this is in our congregation back in Israel called Avat Yeshua that Asher and Trader leads, there are 6 other women that are giving birth in the same month of October, just in our congregation. So something's going on. And in the coming year, we will have over 15 new babies at our congregation. We have many young couples, many people are our age, and all of us are the same stage of life, so it's really exciting. Yes, Jonathan and I live in Israel. We've been there for 3 years.
3.5.
3.5 years now. I've been there for 10 years this summer, so that's very exciting for me. Jonathan's still working with Sarel Tours, and if anybody of you are interested in doing a tour, you can also talk to Sherry Moore. And I work with Revive Israel Ministry under Asher Intrader. I work with accountability discipleship, discipleship, and also in the accounting department. Besides that, other updates that we have, Jen and Judah Morrison, I think some of you might know them. They were also just in Israel, and they were staying with us. We got to spend a really wonderful week with them before Rebecca Cowan got married. And that was a lot of fun, exciting, and quite a whirlwind of busyness with our children and theirs and the wedding and everything. But it was really great to see them. And we also got to be with Mary and Paul. They also came to be with us in Israel. So this all means that you guys are welcome to come, welcome to come and visit us. We love it. We love seeing our friends and family over there. We are so happy to host you. So just let us know if any of you are planning a trip to Israel. Our congregation that we are currently meeting, the meeting place, Avat Yeshua, we are going through some really big changes. So as far as praying for us, this would be a very big prayer point. We are needing to move our building or move our time of when we are meeting because of the current building that we're renting from is needing to take our time slot. This is a very, very big deal because it can interfere with the different times of which all of us can make it to come to services. And so far we have not found another building to meet in. And we have until September, I think.
I think that's right.
To make a decision. So this is a very important thing to pray for. I think that's about it. We're very excited to be here. I've been here for a few weeks. Jonathan just got in about a week ago, and we'll try to talk to as many people as we can after the service, but if we don't get a chance to talk to you, we just want to say thank you so much for all of the prayers that you have prayed over us. We definitely feel them all the time. We're doing great right now. We're happy, and just... just really, feeling love and love coming back to our home congregation. You guys are our family, our home away from home. So thank you.
I got this one. You can keep that one. Thanks. Is this on correctly? I don't even know. This is a interesting device here on the back of the head, and I feel a little bit Borgish. Okay, all the nerds, please give me a courtesy chuckle. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Yes, there's two more updates that I want to share about. One was something you might have heard about. The Israeli government was going to have elections. I don't know if you heard about that. There was a big turmoil. They were going to go into elections. But something that almost unprecedented happened. A member of the opposing party, kind of the coalition government, so the opposing party, one of the biggest parties in all of Israel, decided that they were going to join the government. In Israel, you don't have two parties, you have multiple parties, so you have to get enough people together to create a majority, more than 50%. So they were kind of teetering on the edge of 50%, and there's some instability in the coalition, and all of a sudden, this one huge party that had been a part of the opposition, part of the people against the coalition, had said that they want to join it. And so we have actually one of the most stable governments we've had in probably at least 15, 20 years. Which is interesting, because there's some instability in the region, if you've heard. I don't know if that's been on the news at all, but there's been some instability in the region, and there's some fears about what would happen in Iran and such. But the fact that there would be a stable coalition is a huge benefit for Israel to be able to have freedom of action within the local politics. Of course, there's always the international pressures that restrain, but in terms of internal pressures, it's very good. One of the huge goals of this government, other than the Iranian threat, was a thing called the Tal Law. Tal, T-A-L, if you were speaking in English. Tal Law. And the Tal Law is a carryover. Do I need to adjust this or something? Am I okay? The Tal Law is basically an idea that the ultra-Orthodox put into place many years ago, which allows ultra-Orthodox who want to just go and study Torah to do that and not have to worry about any obligation to serving in the military. You may have heard that Israel, everyone serves in the military. Once they reach 18 years old, they graduate from high school, they go into the military 3 years if you're a guy or 2 years if you're a woman, okay? Now, the ultra-Orthodox had a exemption through this Tal Law that said if you want to go study Torah, you can do that and you don't have to serve at all. Now, this is really, really great for people who want to study Torah, and this is really amazing benefit that they get. The problem is the numbers of ultra-Orthodox have grown tremendously since the founding of the nation of Israel. And now there's hundreds of thousands of people who are taking advantage of this law and not serving the military. And as you know, this is a huge detriment to the budget and other things that they are not serving. So there's an idea now that the coalition is stronger and they don't have as much obligation towards the ultra-Orthodox political parties. They're taking it on themselves to reintroduce the Tal Law in a way which requires them to serve in a national service, some kind of helps project way. They don't have to necessarily serve in the army, but they do have to serve in some kind of called national service. So this I see as personally is a very, very positive move, because one of the problems that we have, and even in evangelism into the ultra-Orthodox community or interacting with them, is they are so secluded, you almost can't reach them. Say you even did reach one. Say you met somebody on the street and you were able to give him the gospel message. He understands that Yeshua is for him. He makes a commitment to live for Yeshua. What happens then? He doesn't know how to do anything but study the Torah. He has no trade skills. His education as a child was mostly religious entertaining. No business school. Minimal mathematics. Minimal everything else. He doesn't know anything. It almost has to be a detox program to get them to be useful in society in general. So think about that when you're trying to evangelize, witness to this ultra-Orthodox guy. You say, not only am I committed to you to know the Lord, but I'm committed to you to learn how to function as a human being in regular society. Serious discipleship right there. So this is going to be a good move for us, we think. It'll be a way in which they can get out of their very tight-knit communities. They'll be able to relate with other ideas and other people, especially, hopefully, with Messianic Jewish believers who are in the army, because Messianic Jewish believers have a really good reputation in the army as being faithful servers, servers who are willing to be in combat units and do the hard work. So this is a great thing, and if you want to add this to your prayer list, the Tal law being reintroduced and maybe replaced with something more reasonable for where we're at as a country. So that is about all I have for Israel updates. I did have something on my heart today, a message, and I titled it, "The Proof is in the Pudding." I don't know if you've ever heard "The Proof is in the Pudding," but my dad used to tell this math joke about the proof is in the pudding, and it was this tricky thing where at the end of the day you had to know that he said the proof is in the pudding. But the point is this, there's something really interesting I've noticed about Israel that can be unhealthy at a certain extent, but at a reasonable, take it with a grain of salt extent, it can be good. And that is this, Israel is very much oriented towards results and proof. There's a lot of talk that comes out of the Middle East in general, so I think maybe this is part of where it comes from. Unless you can back it up, though, no one cares. Talk is worth nothing almost there. So much so that the person I work for, his name is Samuel Smadja. He's the most successful businessman in all of Israel that's a believer, multimillionaire, self-made as his entire business. He said to me about a person that was wanting to work with him on business ideas and maybe start new businesses. He said to me, "Jonathan, I'd like to work with them, but they've never done anything. They have great ideas, good talk, but they've never done anything. They have no fruit. How am I going to invest all this time and all this energy and all this money potentially when they haven't done anything?" And so I want to take that kind of to here, and I want to say the proof is in the pudding. What is it that we're showing in our fruit, in our lives, in our congregation? And let's see if we can be more fruitful, and let's see if we can bring something that's fresh to our area. A wise man named Michael Rudolph once told me that a Messianic congregation in America or anywhere outside of Israel is an embassy of Israel to that area. And if we believe in a kingdom mindset, each one of us has a role of bringing the kingdom of God into what we're doing. Whether it's your family, of course, but also your workplace, also your neighborhood, every single area where you go, the kingdom of God is supposed to be being put into that place. The kingdom of God is supposed to be in government consulting. The kingdom of God is supposed to be in your school where you're teaching or learning. The vision that we have for a new heaven and a new earth is not that we're going to float around in heaven. Our vision is that God will come and set up something here on earth. We will renew what we have here the proper way. We will be transfigured. This land will be more fruitful. There will no longer be trees that can harm you and poisonous plants and animals and stuff like that. But the point is, it will be here. It might be a new heaven and a new earth, but it will be earth. When we go up and we see Yeshua and we welcome him, we're not saying Baruch Haba and then going to be with him. We're saying Baruch Haba because we're welcoming him to earth. Do you see where I'm going with this? Here on earth is where the kingdom needs to be. We are the body of Messiah because this is where Messiah wants to be, here on earth. So anything that we're doing here on earth, let's make it the kingdom. Let's bring it to here. As much as we can institute values of integrity, honesty, holiness, anything that we come across that we can know to bring the values of God into that area that we are, that's implementing the kingdom. Okay? So let's take an example. In our relationships with our friends, Are we depositing into them kingdom values? Into our neighbors, do we love our neighbors as ourselves? Great example. How are we depositing the kingdom values into them? Now, the verse that I have overarching for all of this is Matthew 7, 17 through 20. So if you all open your Bibles in Simchati, Matthew 7, verses 17 through 20.
Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
Now, I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you. How long ago is it, honey, that we talked about fasting for me, the fast I did? About a month ago? Month and a half ago. Month and a half ago, we came to a point, Simcha and I, where she had to tell me that things were not in order and what I wanted to be fruitful in. I had so many ideas I wanted to do. I had started writing three different books. I had a discipleship with different people I wanted to do. I had desires to reach out to my neighbors, all these kinds of great ideas. And she said to me that it didn't seem like I was getting around to many of them. And I said, "Woman, I'm the man of the family." No, I didn't say that, actually. That's why we're still here together today. But no, what I said to her was, "Okay." Because I'm very humble and open to correction. And so I said, "Okay," guardedly. And basically what it came down to is I needed to look at my time and the time that I was spending, free time doing movies or games or just playing on my smartphone in Israel. Yeah, Israel has smartphones. Awesome. Was not producing fruit, and it was taking up quite a bit of time. So we decided I was going to do a fast for, was it 1 week? 1 week. 1 week to not be on it, do any movies or any games on the iPhone. And it was amazing how God, in that short amount of time, was able to touch my heart and show me where my priorities were out of whack and begin to put them back in order so I can accomplish things. And it was amazing in that since that 1.5 months, I've met with at least 3 people that I wanted to meet with, young people in our community, to talk with them about discipleship and share with them my vision. I was able to get a lot more writing done. I wrote another whole chapter in another book that I'm writing. And so it was really amazing how that little thing, little specific thing, helped me become more fruitful. And so I want to talk about this idea of a tree bearing good fruit and a bad tree bearing bad fruit, but mostly on the good tree, good fruit. What's interesting here, what I want to talk about, is how we are trees. I don't know if we ever had a message on this, but if we are, as a good tree, be good fruit, I want to bring an analogy between a tree and us, okay? So we know that any tree requires 4 things to be successful, okay? 4 things for a tree to be successful. 1, it has to be protected from the wildlife. That's why they sometimes put those guards up around a tree so that the animals don't come and eat the bark and it has to die. It has to be protected from the animals, okay? There needs to be level protection. There needs to be sunlight. There needs to be rain or other water sources. And there needs to be soil with the appropriate nutrients, okay? 4 things. Protection, sunlight, water, and soil, okay? Those are basically the 4 things that you need. Now, I want to talk about each one of those things and now talk about us as human beings who are trees that want to bear good fruit. Protection. I believe that we can stand on the promise, the truth, that God is our never-failing shield. In Psalm 3, verse 3, it says, "You, O Lord, are a shield for me." What is a shield for other than protection? Let's stand on that. The Lord is a shield for us. It also says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's an everlasting shield for us. But how do we leave that protection? How do we sometimes lose the protection of God? Sometimes we lose it by being not under spiritual authority. If we're not under spiritual authority, not in right alignment with God, sometimes we can lose our protection. Also, unrepented sin can cause us to go out from the protection of God. Second one, sunlight. God's face is shining upon you. Have you ever heard that kind of idea? It says in the Aaronic benediction that God may cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. There's a connection here between sunlight, in my opinion, and the face of the Lord. Also in Revelation chapter 21, sweetheart, would you mind reading Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, and then I have another one right after that in Revelation. If you want to turn to there, you're welcome to turn there as well. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23.
The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light.
Revelation 22, verse 5.
22. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light.
Amazingly, in the New Jerusalem, there won't be a sun or a moon. And the reason why is because God himself provides the light. I think that even now, we can gain from that spiritual truth, like trees that need sunlight, we need the face of God. It's also connected with what Fabiola said about the intimacy with the Lord. The face is always considered something that's intimate, to be able to see it and know each other. It said Moses spoke with God face to face. So we need to have that intimacy with the Lord. We need to have that face-to-face connection, and that's what provides us the warmth of God's love, the truth about who we are. Sometimes we don't misunderstand who we are because we don't look in the face of God for who we are. We look at the world, we look at comparisons, we look at all these different things. No, the sunlight, the face of God provides that warmth, provides that truth. Again, we can miss out on God's face shining on us. How do we do that? Again, once again, sin is one thing. God doesn't stop looking at us because we sin, but because we sin, he sometimes has to dial down the intensity. It says that Moses had to put a veil over his face because the nation, the people couldn't look on it. It was too great for them. As we get out of our sin, as we get into a holier and purer lifestyle, he's able to dial up the radiance. After Yeshua was transfigured, he was extremely radiant, but then he dialed it down again. And when he showed up to the disciples after he was raised from the dead, they didn't even know who he was. But then suddenly he would do something, and they would realize it, and it would turn on again. He could dial up the radiance. So I think that's also how we are. We need to be as pure in our living, in our lifestyles, in order to be able to receive as much as possible. Up the wattage, if you will, on the radiance. The other thing that we can do is we can focus on the wrong thing. We can focus not on his face. We can focus on something that he's given us to do, even. One of the things that we sometimes have a problem with in being fruitful is we get tired out. We get tired out not because it's too hard to do the work of the Lord. I know some people that are extremely busy with the work of the Lord. Simcha's parents, for example. And the way they do it, the secret that they have always said, is that they have to be in the center of God's will to do it. If you're in the center of God's will, you will not get tired out. I do a lot more than some other people in our congregation in serving. And the reason why I do it is that it excites me. It gives me strength because it's something that I'm supposed to be doing. The Lord has called me to it. So if you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling overwhelmed, reevaluate where God has you. What is he meaning for you to do? Maybe he's not meaning for you to do 10 different things. Maybe he's meaning for you to do 3 things. But do them very, 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 very well. Okay? It's very important to stay focused only on the things that he's called you to. To stay focused on what he is telling you. And that's how you get your sunlight. Rain and other water sources. Trini's rain and other water sources.
What does that mean? In my opinion, in an Israeli context, rain is always a blessing. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about a list of different things that God will do in blessing the nation of Israel if they obey him. And one of those things is he will send rain in that season. Also, John verse 7, chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said," this is Yeshua speaking, "he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." There's also a connection between the water and the refreshing that's also connected with the Spirit, which is also a blessing, but it's also a source of life. And so, how do we miss out on the infilling of the Holy Spirit sometimes? We miss out on the infilling of the Holy Spirit sometimes by not implementing kingdom principles. What do I mean by that? I mean, for example, if God calls you a son or a daughter of himself, you're children of the Lord, that gives you a certain inheritance, right? A certain sense of placement. And that gives you self-confidence. So, very practically, it gives you self-confidence even when you go into an interview. If you have self-confidence when you go into an interview for a job, you're more likely to get it than if you're very lacking self-confidence. That'd be just an example of taking the principles of the kingdom and implementing it into your life and being successful because of it. I can't tell you how many people I've met, and I disciple a guy who is completely lacking self-confidence, and he still hasn't gotten a job that he's been able to keep. This is a big deal. This is a very practical issue. He doesn't have money to get a room to rent, to move out of his parents' house, who are basically persecuting him because he's a believer and they don't like that, because he doesn't have self-confidence. He hasn't implemented the kingdom principles in his life. So sometimes we miss out on the blessings of the Lord because we haven't implemented his principles. So he's trying to rain his blessings on us. He might have set up 4 interviews at places that want to take him, but if he would just step out in confidence as a son of God. What other examples are there? There's probably tons of examples like this. Our relationships with our spouses. Oh, we can't seem to implement the issue of humility. And so every time we have an argument, you have to have the last word, and it's hurting your relationship. There's tons of examples like this. We need to implement the principles of the kingdom in order to receive the blessing. Okay? Another way we can miss out on the blessing of the rain and the water is by just not pursuing it. It says that we can pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Paul boasted that he spoke in tongues more than anyone else. That seems pretty obvious. He said, pursue prophecy. And so we have to be able to pursue the gifts in order to gain from the blessing that they have in them. Another thing to have consistent, in my experience and what I've seen, consistent empowerment in the Holy Spirit comes with purity of intentions, purity of life, and trustworthiness of faithfulness. If your intentions are pure, you don't want to pursue the Holy Spirit power because you are wanting to be the big man. If you're pursuing it because you really want to heal people, you want to have the sick be healed, if you're pursuing it because you really want to make a difference in your community, then that's something that he will respect and he'll empower you for that. Also, if you have a purity of lifestyle, if your lifestyle represents the holiness of the Lord, then he will empower you. If it doesn't, he can empower you because he doesn't want to lift you up because you're not an example of who he is. You're not transmitting who he is, you're transmitting who you are, who the fallen world around you is. Also, the trustworthiness of faithfulness, he will give it to people who are going to be in it for the long haul, not somebody who's going to fall in a short time. The people who walk in power are the people who are long-term committed to the Lord, who are radically committed to the Lord, who are willing to die for the Lord. That's my experience. And what I've read in the Chinese church and the African church and things that are really going well, those Christian groups are seeing power because they are committed in that way. Okay, last one, soil. This is the one I think is most interesting. Another word for soil is dirt. He, the Lord God, puts you in a specific dirt. And by that I mean the Lord put you in a specific community. I don't know if you knew that your community was probably dirty. I don't know if you knew that it sometimes is a little bit hands-on and messing with the clay of the earth to be in a community. But that's what I would like to say in my personal belief in this analogy. Soil is the dirt. That's the community you're in. The nutrients, that's where you draw from. That's where you're planted, in a certain community. And what do I mean by community? I don't just mean Ohev Yisrael. I mean your neighborhood, your workplace, your social, recreational activities. That's all part of your community. That's who you interact with. Okay? And what I want to say about this, real briefly, is that the type of dirt you're in greatly affects your fruit. Okay? God called Hudson Taylor to minister to the Chinese people, and so he went to be with the Chinese people. Okay? God put Simcha and I as young couples, new parents, in relationship with a bunch of new young couples, other young couples and parents, and that's part of our community because we need to affect them. God put some of you in the intelligence community in order to affect the intelligence community. God put some of you in the schools in order to affect the schools. And God put every single one of you in a neighborhood in order to affect your neighborhood, to be a light. Every single person you're in touch with is a part of your community. Some of them he'll have you more focus on and some less. Maybe you're not supposed to focus on your work at all. You're supposed to only focus on your neighborhood or on your lacrosse team or whatever the issue is. Okay? But you have to realize that where you are is a huge factor in where your fruit comes from. Because God doesn't want to build up events. He wants to build up people. He's very, very excited that there are about 70 people in this room. Not because there's a 70-person event, but because there's 70 individuals, souls, spirits, reflections of who he is that he wants to touch. And through those 70, he wants to touch another 1,000. Okay? He's not interested in building up the Saturday morning service at Ohev. Great. As that serves 70, 100, 500 people, wonderful. But it's the people themselves that he's trying to touch. The people that you know. The people in your community, whatever that is. That's how you see multiplication. That's how you see the kingdom expanding to the people you know. Again, you are bringing the kingdom to them. They may not be ready to come to Ohev Yisrael. It may not even be the right place for them. Especially if they're not Jewish and they don't have anything to care about Jewish things. That's fine. Take them to a church. Go with them. Escort them. But touch their lives for the kingdom. I read a book once that said something amazing. It said that in any given believer with a Bible in their hand, they have the DNA to create a whole new thriving community. Now, that's easy to think of when you think of, okay, in this end of the spear where they go out into the middle of the jungle and they're the only believers and that's it. It's harder to think of when we have congregations here. But say we were 30 years ago and Ohev Yisrael didn't exist. One person decided they were going to make it exist. He brought people together. He shared the vision. He shared what he had in him at the time of the kingdom of God, and it grew from there. It's possible that Ohev Yisrael right now, the 70 people here, have in them the possibility for 6 new congregations over the next 5 years. Who knows? The point is this. You have in you not perfection, but truth. And that truth can be shared with other people and create a change. You can take your Bible that has all the truth, take what limited truth you know and you have, and share it with those around you. And you can create whatever it will be, whatever God has ordained it. Maybe it's just a new home group. I don't care what it is, but the point is, it's something new. It's something fresh. It's something that you are responsible for, not a congregation, not your pastor, not your elders. You're under authority, but you can start something fresh. Simcha and I have started a home group with that mentality. That's our responsibility to reach our neighbors, not my pastor's. It's my responsibility to make a difference where he's called me. And maybe that's in a school, and maybe it's just prayer walks. If you think about something as innocuous as prayer, you think of prayer, oh, God has called me to prayer, so I'm just going to go in my room and pray and stuff. Now think about it in God level. If God has called you to prayer, maybe he's called you to prayer at a whole level higher than what you thought of before. Maybe he's called you to make the new IHOP of Northern Virginia, the International House of Prayer for Virginia. I mean, you know how many people, thousands of people are in IHOP right now? Do you know how much of an impact that's making on Kansas City? So I don't think there's any specific area that he can call you to that can be too small. The point is, he's called you to make an impact. And maybe it's an impact on the poor or the homeless or the underfed. I don't care what the area is that he's called you to work in. But make the impact as huge as possible, because he's put in you the DNA for a whole new thriving community. And he's put in it in you because without it, people are passing away. In my neighborhood, no, in my building, two floors down from me, 2 years ago, a young man in the army committed suicide. And that really drilled it home for me. People are dying. People are dying of lack of hope, lack of vision, lack of intimacy with the Lord. So I think if you can take that to heart a little bit, your communities are desperate for this, whether they know it or not. Find out where the need is, where you can speak to them, at the level you can speak to them, and please know that you have everything in you that you need to have to bring that truth. I think that's all for the message, but we did want to have a time of prayer with anyone who wanted to have prayer, whether it's for vision on where God wants you to be fruitful, where he's called you to. Let's pray and find out where that is. Or maybe it's a prayer to be encouraged to want something more, to see more fruitfulness. Maybe you're happy with the level of fruitfulness you have. Maybe you're happy with that. But God said, God, Yeshua, and the disciples who raised the dead, I just read this morning, Yeshua, the disciples went out and raised the dead and healed the sick and all that stuff. And they said that we'll see greater things than they did. So unless we're at that level of fruitfulness, we need to be pursuing more fruitfulness, in my opinion. So maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you want prayer for a new season of fruitfulness or overcoming things that have prevented you from being fruitful, like sin or submission to authority or your focus and your busyness of life or implemented kingdom principles. Any of these types of things that are preventing you from being fruitful, let's pray for that. Let's see victory. Or any other prayer that will help you move forward in your walk with the Lord or your effectiveness with others. Anyone who wants prayer, Simcha and I and others will be up here for prayer. Mike, do you want to say something else? Sweetheart, did you want to say something? Go say something. Come on, come on. No, you're up. Let's go.
I just wanted to hit strongly on a point that Jonathan was making about fruit, and one of the things is when you do all these things that Jonathan was saying, you do produce fruit. If you are under the protection of the Lord and right authority, if you are getting watered, if you have the right community, all these things will make it so you do produce fruit. It's impossible not to produce some kind of fruit. The step after that is you're walking around with all this fruit, and what do you do with it? Just like a tree that has all that fruit, if it's not used, it dries up, it falls to the ground. It doesn't benefit those. So part of having all four of these things and having a community and having people you're accountable with helps you to also not just produce that fruit, but give it out and affect others with what you have. Everybody has a different kind of fruit. Everybody's a different tree, if we'll use that analogy. We have so much to give. And I think that so many of us have fruit or have something inside of us, but it's just died because we don't know what to do with it or where to go with it. And I would say also just with the prayer, I would say that maybe this is something that we would pray for. I found with generations, you start to see as we get older, people want to hang out with the youth because they're so passionate and excited about things and have all this vision. And then slowly, the age of youth, you get older, and then that vision kind of dies down because maybe things didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to, or you didn't produce what you wanted to produce. And the older we get, the more we realize that we're just numb and have died inside, and that passion, that excitement, that vision, all those things have just died down. And so I just wanted to add that as a prayer point, if someone also feels like maybe you have had fruit or fruit in the past, or you feel like you have had something that you want to give, but it's just died inside of you, and you want the Lord to revive that, we are also here to pray for that.
Okay. So, Mike, do you want to end the service, and then we'll open the prayer afterwards?
Could the elders step forward, please? We generally end the service, and we will.